Everyone, thank you for joining us on this episode of The Mayor's Table. With me today is Farmington Fire Chief Robert Sterrett. He's going to be providing us an education on things happening here at the fire department. This is a $10 million budget that we're talking about. Public safety is important to me. I know it's important to you. Stay tuned for more information. Hey everyone, Farmington Mayor Nate Duck, and thanks for joining us for this episode of The Mayor's Table. As you can see, we are here today at the Farmington Fire Department, and with us is our Chief of Fire, Robert Sterrett. Robert, thanks for being here.
How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. How are you?
Doing good.
I love this this wall. I love the fact that we've got all of our personnel here from our fire department listed up here, and that's kind of why I wanted to come over today, was get an update on things that are happening here with the department, things that our community should be aware of. That are going on in our town, and just kind of give us an education on what the Farmington Fire Department does, because you do a lot of things besides fight fires.
Oh, yes. Most of our business is actually EMS. So fire is our specialty, but we're more or less a full-service organization. From Special Olympics, community events, the fireworks, we put on the fireworks show. We do all the IAPs for all the city events, so the free concert, the balloon rally, the road apple rally coming up, the trick-or-treat on Main Street, and we put our folks out there, and we build these IAPs, and they're generally just to provide safety for the public when they're out there.
What's an IAP?
Incident Action Plan. It's
okay.
Basically a guide for any one of these events. There's multiple departments that are involved in them, and it basically puts everybody on the same page. So whether it's something minor, they know who to go to. If something out of the ordinary occurs, that there's a structure built into that, so those operations can fluctuate and increase or decrease as needed.
Sure. This is one of the many things you do. Mm-hmm. I mean, but on a daily basis, I just want to get an overview. How many stations are there, number of personnel? And of course, anybody who's called 911 for an emergency, normally a member of the fire department is showing up for emergency medical services.
Oh, absolutely. Six stations across the city.
Okay.
Station one's down on Auburn, and that's where we're at with the admin building.
Our newest station.
It is. It was finished in the fall of 2015. Chief Page helped with the counselors and got this station built. Holds three units here that are staffed. It's our battalion chief, which is a shift supervisor, a ladder truck, and an engine. And then we have an unstaffed brush truck here also. Station two is over by the mall.
Okay.
It's on English, and that station also holds two units staffed. That's another ladder truck and an engine, and then it's an unstaffed brush truck. We also have currently out there our rescue boat that we just got this year. That's out there.
At Farmington Lake?
It's at Station 2. I know there's plans, and we're in the works to get a boathouse put up out there to house it, so they don't have to hook up to a trailer and then back the trailer in. It's ready to go when they get there.
Right.
Station 3's an airport station.
People forget about that one sometimes.
It's kind of off on its own. It's got a large aircraft rescue firefighting truck. Rescue 3, and then it's got a small F-550 reserve style that fits the needs when that truck's in for maintenance or whatever.
And that is just for use at the airport, correct?
Correct.
They're not taking calls anywhere else in the city?
Yes and no. If there's something on airport property, whether it's trip, fall, sprain, or whatever from in the parking lot or anything up at the airport, they'll respond to that also. Station 4, which is on South Hutton, which is near the old bus barn.
Sure.
That's our hazmat station. It's got a lot of equipment in it. It's got one staffed engine. That's also the station that we're looking at putting a two-man squad in when we can get staffing for it to help alleviate the call volume in that district. But there's the engine, brush truck, a slew of trailers, hazmat, our air compressed, mobile air compressors out there. It's full of equipment.
Yeah. Well, and ideally situated based on the type of industries that surround that location as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then Station 5 is up by Worley Park, Worley Field, I guess, at 30th and Butler. Mm-hmm. And that's basically our tech rescue station. So it's houses, we try to staff tech members up there, but it has water rescue, rope rescue, high and low angle, it's confined space. So we've got an unstaffed rescue truck up there, another unstaffed brush truck, and all the tech rescue equipment up there also.
Okay.
And then Station 6, which is on the west side of town near Harper Hill. And that station is got a single staffed engine, and we keep our reserve units. We've got a reserve ladder truck and then two reserve engines, and that's just when these trucks got to get maintained, we can't take them out of service. So
sure.
We rotate crews out of those. And we also have Farmington PD's bomb squad. They're out of there. So that station's pretty full. Our ARU still runs out of there. I know the city's acquired a property, then we're in the process of getting that property, which is South Commercial. And the ARU will run out of that once we get that and get that up to speed.
Great. So we got 6 fire stations.
Yep.
The brush trucks are used for brush fires, things of that nature. And then how many frontline firefighters do we have?
Right now, frontline, we've got 79 frontline firefighters. But we are down 5. We just hired 7 that are going through an academy right now through San Juan College. Until they're online, we're essentially down 12. So they'll come online middle December, and then they've got a month or so of onboarding they've got to do before they'll be plugged completely in.
Talk about a little bit about that. I mean, recruiting is critical right now. Mm-hmm. Every industry is looking for people. We're down 12, really, but we've got 7 that are coming on board. The relationship that San Juan College plays in the fire science curriculum, talk a little bit about that. What does that entail?
That's key for this area. When you look at the level of training that's required, so they've got to go through their program, which is a semester program. They'll come out with Fire 1, Fire 2, IFSAC certifications for those for our industry. They'll come out with hazmat operations. They'll come out with a tech rescue ops with an option to get a tech rescue certification also with a couple additional classes. But that program's a huge financial. I mean, if we had to run it ourselves, the financial side of it would be astronomic. So they put out a very good quality candidates for us, and they're the only game in town, the only game in the area. I mean, if we're not pulling people that are either already working somewhere else, I mean, you're going to Albuquerque, Phoenix, Denver, Junction. I mean, that's where you're getting those certs from. And the state does offer it through the State Fire Academy, but we don't see many of those. Many of those candidates go to the Valley there, Albuquerque, Bernalillo. So, I mean, this is essentially one of the bloodlines for us.
So with San Juan College's fire program, do you see folks here in the Four Corners from like Cortez, Durango, Pagosa, other places? Are they also getting their accreditation there?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's got to be well attended then.
It is. So Durango, Colorado has their own program. They're not an IFSAC state. They're a pro board state, so it's a different process for them. Okay. So they do a lot of stuff in state. But as far as what we see coming through the academy, we do get candidates from Cortez, from Durango, from Pagosa. It's as far as a full-time program, it's a top-notch program.
So let's say I'm a kid coming out of high school, and I want to be a firefighter. What is the requirements to get on board?
So the requirements are high school diploma or GED, 18 years old. It's minimal for us. We don't require EMT or any of the certifications to get hired. We put you through the schools to do it. So, you know,
that's a great deal.
It is. In a recent meeting with some of the chiefs across the state, a lot of the big departments still require you to have EMT prior to.
You got
to
do it on your own.
Or you're fire one at least.
Yeah.
And so you're doing that out of pocket on your own. So at least this gets you an opportunity to get paid and get your certification and figure out the agency you're working for.
So you got to get your certifications. I imagine there's a physical training requirement to it.
There is.
There's a test you got to pass. Tell us about that.
So our test is a pretty basic fire department test. It's a written test followed by a physical agility test. It's just pass or fail, and then just interviews. And the physical agility test is a very shocking to most experience because it's different. You know, it's you get to do it in just a turnout coat and gloves, and you're not wearing all the gear, and it's designed to peak your heart rate. So you go to the end of the drill tower, run through a few obstacles, and it doesn't sound like much, but it taxes you. You know, pulling a hose, spraying water, you know, climbing four flights of stairs with some hose on your shoulder, and you know, the public really, you know, they don't understand the physics behind the hose. You know, everybody relates to garden hose and or lightweight irrigation hose.
Sure.
You know, when you look at hose with water in it, water's roughly 8.5 pounds per gallon. And depending on which hose you're pulling, that's a lot. And those hose, they're a fabric jacket, so when you're dragging it, it's nothing but friction.
Sure.
They can weigh, well, our 5-inch hose, our supply line we hook to hydrants without any water in it, if it is absolutely dry and hasn't been used, is 110 pounds.
Yeah, so you got to have some minimum requirements there, make absolutely. Sure that people are physically capable of performing the duties that are going to be necessary,
mm-hmm.
not to mention the need to pick humans up, which that's not an easy thing to do, and a lot of your calls involve dealing with that aspect. Mm-hmm. I've fallen and I can't get up. Can you help me, please?
Yes. And all of that goes, I mean, all of those functions are part of that physical agility evaluation, and it's because it's all bits and pieces of the job. It's not, you're not going to do all of it at once. I mean, in some weird circumstance, you could.
Right.
But it's just bits and pieces. And so they take that program, and that's in the San Juan College program also. So when they get hired and they go through there, they do daily PT first thing in the morning. And the PT regimen is designed around recovery. And it's basically treating your body for short bursts of work, but being able to recover really quickly in between those. And then every Friday, I believe it's 12 Fridays, they have to do basically a combat challenge. And so that's where you put all those obstacles together, and then you put all the gear on and see what it's like to do that work with 75, 80 pounds of gear. And that's a challenge.
It's very taxing.
It is.
I was thinking like the 5 seconds of work, you know, I was a lineman in high school,
mm-hmm.
right? And every play was like 5 seconds long. But then it's the other components of adding all that additional gear on top of it, being able to breathe appropriately within the masks. I mean, all those things are very taxing, and I would imagine take some time to get used to. And so I wasn't aware that they were doing those types of practices. Is the whole department does them, or just those coming up through the program? How frequently are they doing the combat training?
The online guys don't. We do an annual physical. It's more of a Cooper's style physical. So it's a run, stretch, reach. It's just a baseline to make sure people are still maintaining physical shape. When you're online, you have an hour and a half every day to work out.
Paid,
yeah. I mean, there's not many places where that happens.
Sure. So 18 years old, coming out of high school, looking for an opportunity. Farmington Fire Department sounds like a great place for me to be. I'm energetic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm physically in shape. I'm a smart person. I'm a team player. And I apply, get hired. Go through the program. What's the starting wage?
Starting wage, it's roughly 44,000. It's just under 44,600. I think it's 44,580.
Sure. You can round.
You know, and that, you know, one of the components of that is I recommend anybody interested come do a ride along, see what it's like.
That's a great point.
It's nothing like a Monday through Friday job. You know, you're working 48 hours straight, 4 days off, 10 days a month. It's an amazing work environment. It really is. And with that, I mean, we're going to be holding another test here probably in November.
Okay.
For folks.
So how can people get a hold of information on where to go?
City of Farmington HR, and we'll have it posted as soon as we get it. It should be here in a few weeks.
Okay.
Talking about the day-to-day, so if you are a new fireman here and you get through academy, you come online, you'll be given a mentor who's somebody that's kind of help you through the process, because the academy portion is just a basic educational foundation that you need. It's not specific to Farmington Fire at the academy, so that when you come on, we give you a rookie book, and that's the specific to us component.
Sure.
Learning where equipment's at on trucks, how to use the equipment appropriately and safely. There's different JPRs they've got to go through and check off during that time frame. And so when you come on, you have a meeting with your mentor, figure out, you know, what the process is, you know, who to go to when you need something. Then you show up for your day of work and do a little sit down, pass down between the pass shift, because as a 24-hour service, you know, calls don't stop in the morning. So whether it's 5 a.m., there might be stuff that needs to be taken care of on the truck before you get rolling. So they do that, and then they'll figure out their meals, because we cook and eat and live at the station. So they'll do that, and they'll probably go shop, which is another skills test about following instruction. And then...
I'm a good shopper, Robert. I could do this.
You'd be surprised. It's building trust with the crew that when you're told to get something specific, that you get it.
Sure.
It relates back to when you're on scene. If you're told to go grab something specific, there's a reason they want that tool or that piece of equipment, that you go get it and bring it back.
Sure.
Then you'll work out. And then during somewhere in the day, you'll have a training, whether it's an EMS training or a fire-based training or an operational tech rescue training or hazmat. I mean, we've got roughly 240 hours a year of training that we have to cover for ISO between our members, so there's always going to be training. And amongst that is running calls.
Right. Well, I keep mentioning 18-year-old. I want to be very clear.
Mm-hmm.
You can be 25, you can be 30. As a matter of fact, I think Kip Ricks came on board when he was
47, maybe older. Yeah,
fulfilling a lifelong dream to be a mm-hmm. firefighter at the age of 47. Mm-hmm. He's a heck of a chef, by the way. I know you know that. But,
oh, yeah.
But so you could be, I mean, what is there a cutoff age?
Some places do. We don't. I mean, if you can do the work.
We want you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's great to know. So talking about the number of calls, people would be surprised to find out how many calls for service, and those calls for service abroad, that are associated with the Farmington Fire Department. Mm-hmm. And on a monthly basis, when I'm looking at the report, I mean, normally it runs between 1,300 to 1,500 calls for service every month. That means anytime one of those calls come in, somebody is responding to that person or that situation. That's a lot of calls.
It is. And
you got six stations.
We do.
Handling that, and hopefully we can get our floating station as well.
So with that, that was a big target. I mean, we've been increasing 1,000 to 2,000 calls a year for a while. We've got two districts that are really busy, and that was why we pushed and council approved us to put in a squad in service in District 4, which will help alleviate that call load. And the big component of that is when you have high call load, that means either the crews are constantly running and not getting training, or they're on a call and other districts are having to respond to cover those calls. And in, you know, that district, it was over 25% of the calls were being covered by other units. And so having that additional unit will provide better coverage for the folks that live and work in that district. So
yeah, I know one of the things that we've added over the past, I guess about 4 years now, to the kind of the arsenal of tools that you guys have available to you is the ARU,
mm-hmm.
the Alternative Response Unit, which is used for individuals down subjects, mm-hmm. but is a fire department program.
It is. And that program's a huge hit. I mean, when we looked at the call volume in that evaluation, it almost didn't seem fathomable where we would pick up those calls. So combined with the ARU, we're 19,000 and change for calls for service. That's a lot.
Right. But now that ARU unit, when that goes out to handle those types of situations, we're not having to send out a full ladder truck.
It frees up units, and it frees up an ambulance. So they'll go, they'll evaluate. A lot of times there'll be an officer there who either made contact already or hasn't had availability to make contact. So our folks will go make contact, and they'll determine if they need assistance from EMS or a fire truck, and eliminate the past where all three agencies would respond to every single one.
Right.
So, no, that's been a huge benefit.
You've given us a lot of information. Is there anything in particular you'd like to make sure our community knows? Issues that we're seeing around town, maybe, that fire's having to deal with this time of year that are higher than normal?
Actually, well, not really. I mean, obviously with the wind and the weather, trees and power lines, it's just the continued level of education our guys have. I mean, schooling doesn't stop once you become a fireman. There's engineer programs to drive and pump these fire trucks. There's officer programs for lieutenants. There's officer programs for captains. There's training for battalion chiefs. It's just more school than you would ever imagine. That's entailed in this, on top of
240 hours a year per person.
And that's just training. That's not bettering yourself and making a next step up.
That's just maintaining your credentials.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we had the rescue during Riverfest, and that highlights a high skill set. And so each one of our teams, whether it's Tech Rescue, Hazmat, Wildland, PALS, they're completely dedicated to their craft. And so that's a whole other slot of training. And they do it all the time. And so when we're in that environment, they have to make a decision. They understand what's at risk, what can be done, and what the options are. And for this community, you look at this wall, and outside of the new recruits that are on here, or the newer cadets, they're all highly trained.
Sure.
And so that's a testament to this department and what they provide the community.
Such a great point. Speaking about kind of those specialized training, I know one of the areas that we focus on is wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we are allowed to be contracted out to help fight fires kind of broadly. Mm-hmm. Is there any that we're working on right now?
We've got a crew right now in California, I believe Southern California. They've gone on 18 rolls this year. Obviously, the state had a lot of fires, and so we tried to help the state out. We are contracted through state forestry, and it provides us, goes back to training with incident management and the IAPs, is you take the bookwork and how do you apply it. This is a prime example of getting out in the field and applying the ICS and the incident management system and the paperwork in real life. And so they get plugged in, and there's task books, and it's the practical application of the bookwork. And then they bring that back to the city, and when we have something in the city, it's, hey, you're good at this.
Right.
Take this. And you know, it's bridging the gap between bookwork and real skill set. And then when you go out on those, you get signed off by whether it's Cal Fire or it's Forest Service, so you're getting federal recognition for the work you're doing, and we keep doing that. We keep bringing that back, and it builds the skill set.
It makes us stronger as a community in dealing with any of those situations. You know, I think September, as I'm told, is National Preparedness Month.
Sure is.
Is there things you would like to make sure that the community knows that, you know, from a fire chief's perspective, we could be maybe more prepared for, whether it's in our homes, in our cars?
There's, you know, change your batteries and your smoke alarms with time change. I know it sounds ridiculous, but
it's critical.
They never go off in the middle of the day. It's always the middle of the night.
Sure.
But, you know, that's for your, you know, home having, you know, power outage. What are you going to do if you can't cook in the microwave or on your stove? Having some supplies, water. And we all saw with COVID, the hoarding of food and everything. I mean, what's if you couldn't get water?
Yeah.
So having some, you know, I'm not saying just stock up, but having enough. I mean, the city of Farmington is really good with utilities, and when power goes down, it's usually not for too terribly long, but having the availability is there.
Is there a resource that you provide, maybe through your webpage, that individuals could have access to?
Mike Mestis with San Juan County OEM does provide that information on their site. In the future, I know we just posted a video that gives, you know, a rundown of general supplies to have on hand.
Okay.
But that also goes when you travel. We're coming up on winter, and I like to ski, travel. It doesn't take much in bad weather to get off the road, and who's going to find you? You know, unless you're on the road, it may take a few days. Or if you're traveling I-40 and it gets socked in with weather and they shut it down, you might be stuck for 24, 48 hours. So just having blankets, and
water,
and just some snack food.
Some stuff way to make heat.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so with that coming on, it's important to be prepared.
Yeah. Great time right now to go and assess the inventory that people have in their homes. I've got a pack that I keep stocked with things just in that case. If I'm running up to Colorado, if I'm making a road trip, I always want to make sure I've got those necessary goods. Or if I'm just going out for a hike, out in the glade, going to the Bisti, I want to make sure that I go prepared. So, really good input.
Well, common theme is water. I mean, this weekend they've got the off-road event in the glade, and it's going to be hot. Or if you're out Bisti Badlands.
Sure.
Can't overemphasize the having water.
Yeah. All right. Chief, what else do we have today?
Not sure.
Okay. Well, if you got nothing else, I just want to say thank you for taking the time to come on camera and give our community some much needed information on the fire department, the kind of the services you provide. Certainly appreciate the work of the individuals who serve, you know, in service to this community and all that they do. Mm-hmm. I've had a recent situation where they've had to be called out, and just appreciate their professionalism and how quickly they get the job done. So thank you for all you guys do.
You bet. Thank you.
Appreciate it. And thank you for joining us today here on the Mayor's Table. Make sure that you're coming prepared with your inventory, things necessary. Always go out, whatever it is you may be doing. If it's on a road trip, it's on a hike, it's on a biking tour, whatever the case may be, make sure you're ready for what may come. So thanks again for joining us. We'll see you here next time.